in high definition, or standard definition if you like, delivered on iTunes Podcast, or on another podcast app called Podomatic. You're listening to Jamie Way, Matt Olson, and Adam Drummond on The 5 o'clock Wave.
Oh, welcome.
Oh, yes.
Right. Whereas, like, when I hear it, I hear more. Welcome to the show. So you do your version now.
Welcome to the show.
That had a lot of bass in it. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what I'll do, I'll pick one.
Yeah, okay.
Of those.
Yeah.
And we'll use it.
Cool. Do you know the theme music for our show keeps throwing me off because the first second or two is very similar to Osher Ginsberg's.
Really?
Theme music on his podcast. Sort of that dramatic kind of floating strings.
Okay.
Yeah. So I never know, because I've got
you never know
stuff
which
all
one
mashed
you're listening
up on
to.
in my playlist. So it's always a bit of a mystery.
Okay.
But the one that sounds tinny and shitty is ours.
That's ours, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Because we use high quality studio equipment to
all
do
the way
ours,
up to 64 kilobytes per second.
Yeah. Andy uses probably just an iPhone. And that's it, really.
Osher.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
He's not
that's
called
like
Andrew.
Calling Muhammad Ali. Oh, sorry, Cassius Clay Muhammad Ali.
What's his name?
His mama called him Clay.
I'm gonna call him Clay.
All right. So welcome to the show. Because that was the intro, by the way.
Oh,
we've
hi.
Done yep. the intro.
We've all done our.
It is the 5 o'clock wave. And
we're welcoming a very special guest today because our usual cohort, Adam Drummond, is away. He's shooting for the bright lights in the big city of Sydney.
Yeah, he's got an audition. Can I just quickly just ask a question? Yep. It's episode 19. Before we introduce our guest, it's episode 19. And Adam's been using the word cohort to describe us.
Yeah.
Is that actually... correct. Is that a correct usage of that word?
I think so.
To refer to another individual as a cohort? Because my understanding of that word is a cohort is a group of people. Okay, so if you're listening right now and you give a damn about it.
Cohorts.
Cohort. Can you... No, a cohort is a plural, is a group.
Is it?
Yeah. Because I have a cohort of students when I teach a class. All right. If you're an expert in the English language,
so cohort which is a collective noun, is what
well,
you're saying.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I can maybe you could
this
write
show has
in.
Gotten off
and,
to a magnetic start.
It is, isn't it? It's high energy, laugh a minute, fun.
Whatever word you use to describe him, Adam Drummond is away this week. he's got an audition in Sydney, so he's not here. So we are being joined by local filmmaker and creative person extraordinaire, John Riddell. G'day, John.
Hi, guys.
Hi, John.
Hi,
thanks
Matt.
Thanks for stepping in.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And make sure you give us...
Far better looking than Drummond.
Yeah.
I've just got a much better facial hair, too.
Yeah, totally.
Well, it seems like I've replaced the most bubbly... entertaining, positive person with like the most sort of...
Oh, so you listen to the podcast?
A little bit. And it seems you've been joined by some kind of, you know, long-haired zombie.
No, we like long-haired zombies.
Okay.
Well, what we might do is get into how we know John and what sort
you
of...
You go first.
Why John's here.
Because I'm still eating
my lunch. And we've wanted to have you
on
the show
again to all
since,
the
since we began doing the show.
Sorry, I'm late
19 weeks ago.
I thought you were going to say like 1983.
Yeah, back in 1972.
I've been waiting by the phone all those weeks.
Well, because we met, what was it, 2010? 2011 maybe?
I think
when did we make?
Maybe 2012. I think early 2000, late 2012.
You're talking about Kirk v. Picard?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so the backstory is that John wrote and directed a short film called Kirk v. Picard that I acted in, along with our recent federal Labor candidate for this area, Tim Kurilovitz.
Yep.
Who was fantastic, by the way. Dr. Tim Kurilovitz, I should say now.
That's right.
And Matt edited that project, edited Kirk v. Picard.
Correct.
And it's actually gone on to... fairly large amounts of success in the fantasy film festival market, hasn't it?
A little bit, yeah. It's it won an award and toured the States, and since then got into a few more festivals and is still getting into festivals.
Yeah.
At the moment, so that's been a big relief because, you know, it was a bit of an undertaking, but
so much fun.
Yeah, it was great to work on it. To bring it, to get everyone up to the house and shoot the film and drive around was great. And then Matt and I laboriously went over the film a bunch of times in the editing suite out at the uni. So
and that's the lot of the editor. Anyone involved in post production, that's their lot.
Yeah, you sit in small windowless rooms, smelling your own farts for days on end,
and spending enormous amounts of time with the story that where there's no immediacy, there's no kind of moment as such. Like the actor has the moment and it's meant to be about that. It's meant to be the moment and the truth of that moment. You bring it out. Yeah, you might do multiple takes and you might explore it. But
are we about to disappear up our own ass?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I can tell you
would much rather have been out on the shoot location.
Yeah, of course.
Out in the beautiful Sugar Pine Walk up near Batlow. And of course staying with John.
Yeah.
After the shoots were finished each day, we stayed a whole weekend at
I've since spent time in that up there, you know, on subsequent projects, and but I've yet to visit the Sugar Pines.
Oh, really?
I have yet to venture into the Sugar
so
Pines.
So beautiful.
But I mean, that's something that we will do in the not too distant future.
When we make
hopefully.
The sequel.
I've got a quick question in terms of the story that I still don't really know, which is how did Jamie come to play? Like, how did you come to cast Jamie in the role of, which one was it?
Mitch.
Mitch. How did that happen?
That was.
And I'm not asking you like, in that classic like, why?
What was the process?
Did you?
I'm just curious as to.
Well, obviously, I still know Tim and Soph, who Tim Krulovitz obviously is one of the actors in the film, and I met Tim and his wife Sophie through, I can't remember how we met, but we met and we all decided to make movies, and I showed them the script and they liked it, and I said, well, I'm looking for two guys that could play hitmen.
Mm.
And they knew Jamie from Backyard Ashes because they were involved with Backyard Ashes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Sophie was one of the production managers, second producer or something like that. Like, she was quite high up in the production process, but very switched on, really on top of a game. Like, one of those people who's just really good at organizing dickheaded artists. Who's sort of really good at marshalling resources and material.
That's right. And they obviously got Jamie in straight away, and Jamie was great. And we had another fella cast as one of the other hitmen, but we had one read-through, and I think almost straight after that, it could have been that night, his wife broke her leg. So he goes, I'm out. So I'm just like,
He had to take a whole bunch of time off work and look after it, because it was a pretty major break. It was up in her thigh.
Something like that.
Femur.
Wow, okay.
And I think she broke a femur.
Yeah, it was an old break, he said. So she just redid it. And so I think they've got a couple of kids, so, you know, forget it.
He was out.
Yeah, he was out.
Yeah.
And Sophie again works with Tom, and who's left CSU now, but got him in and beautiful. You know, it was all great. It worked really well.
Just so much fun. We spent, was it from the Thursday night until the Sunday afternoon? I think the length of the shoot.
Mm. Yeah. The first day we were shooting all the car scenes, and I borrowed a car from a guy on my cricket team.
You borrowed a hella sweet like VL Commodore.
That's right, yes.
And and we shot in the old cannery out there and shot in the Sugar Pines. And
these fantastic locations. Like John had this place in the town of Batlow kind of set aside for a film shoot for a while, and he showed me some of the stuff that he'd gone out and shot an 8mm. Earlier, and like, this location is just so cool. It's this old, like you said, it's a cannery that's fallen into disrepair. Like, there's remnants of old machines there, half the ceiling's fallen in. Like, it's a really sort of rustic, broken down, kind of shitted up former industrial site.
Let's not sing its praises too loudly, because it is somewhere that we'd like to maybe keep somewhat secret for future projects, and ironically,
it's too late for that already.
It is, because
has it been demolished?
Well, no. The daughter, which was a, you know, I guess you could call it a major
Australian feature film,
was recently shot
with Geoffrey Rush.
Yeah, and Geoffrey Rush and Miranda Otto.
She's great.
Sam Neill.
Sam Neill.
The guy who played Bad Boy Bubby is in that movie too.
Yeah. I saw her at a cafe, like totally randomly in Sydney. I was up there having a coffee with Waseem from Backyard Ashes, Waseem Khan. And we're just sitting there and
should be called Name Droppers.
Yeah. Playing Waseem, who just you might remember from Pizza from and the Houses ceiling. And that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm having a coffee with Waseem and
yeah,
I'd already been freaked out because
Hugo Weaving was in the background.
It could have been. This was right across the road from the Randwick Ritz. There's a little cafe there. Right. And I walked in and the woman behind the counter, she looked really familiar. And I was sort of thinking like, do I say, did you go to uni in Bathurst? Because like that's where I thought I knew her from. So, we ordered a coffee and sat down and everything. And she came and brought them out to us and said, are you Michelle McCormack's cousin? And I went, yeah. And it turns out that her family was from Lockhart.
Oh, okay. Wow.
No, she wasn't. Right. I didn't know her through the channels.
No,
I did.
No, but you
but
didn't
my,
know her.
My mum's family is all from Lockhart, and she's from there as well. So we had a bit of a yak then. And then while we were doing that, this guy comes in, tall, skinny guy, orders a coffee and sits down across from us. And I said to Waseem, you know who that guy over there is? And he's looking over. And
it's Bad Boy Bobby.
I said, that's Bad Boy Bobby. I said, that's awesome. Thomas Redman from Red Ink.
I remember when that film came out.
Daniel Krieger, who was also in Backyard. Yeah. This is Red Ink, also known as Inhuman Resources. Very good Aussie horror film. You should watch it.
When Bad Boy Bubby came out, I was working in a video store. So I was at that perfect age, 21, 22. Yep. Very impressionable in terms of filmmaking. And it was the first, and it was around the time when there were movies like Romper Stomper being released. There's a whole string.
Some great.
But there was that kind of stuff. And then there was also Muriel's Wedding.
Yeah.
And things like that as well.
It was a sort of mid 90s era.
Priscilla.
Incredible sort of film.
You had these complete kind of. Which is not changed now, I suppose. Yeah. You still have the
Pulp
same.
Pulp Fiction would have been about the same time.
Yep.
Yeah. 94, 95.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mid 90s. Yeah, I saw Bad Boy Bubby on a date.
Right, are you win?
Wow. Please tell us more about that.
It was first year uni and I was getting to know this lovely girl and she goes, have you seen Bad Boy Bubby? And it was like a video date. Like we didn't go out to the movies. This was like in the later 90s.
Yeah.
And I never saw it because I was,
you're involved.
I went away to boarding school
involved.
And I would have been, damaged for life had I seen that earlier.
It was R-rated too,
wasn't
it? I
thought you meant when you were on your date, you didn't see it.
Otherwise
detained.
Well, we decided to watch a video and I watched Bad Boy Bubby with this girl and it was great. I loved it. We had a great time.
Oh, yeah.
Had a laugh.
I mean, talk of that's that had a hell laugh. Of a date movie right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's a real long shot
yep.
for a date. You've got to be pretty sure that your date's got to have the same taste as you.
Yeah, I know. But
just realise what you said?
What?
You just said, it doesn't matter. You can listen back.
That's a real long shot for a date.
No, you got to make sure your date's got the same taste that you do.
Well, you say date is a euphemism for anus.
Let it not be said that the 5 o'clock wave is not high class in terms of its comedy.
Yeah.
So since we don't have Adam this week, we figured, we'll bring John in, and but we'll stick with the same formula. And we've been having massive amounts of feedback about our game show that we introduced 3 or 4 weeks
History
ago.
History Kane or Bullshit.
People coming out of the woodwork, approaching me all the time now. Mm. It's actually getting a little annoying. Saying...
you're not back on Facebook though, are you?
I am.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm such a backslider.
Yeah. Stay strong.
Oh, well, there's people that was, to be honest with you... There were people. It's the opposite reason for why I left. I left because I wanted to reconnect with people, and I couldn't reconnect with anyone because there's no one. The only way I could get in touch with people was on Facebook.
I'm only a phone call away.
No, not you. I'm talking about people who don't live close to me or that I don't have
numbers like
for.
Friends from when you used to live in
Correct.
England or stuff like
so
that.
So I,
well, that's understandable,
I really yeah. kind of had that moment where I thought I've just switched off the one way that I can. I just have to be more disciplined about all of the nonsense that I don't really use it for the newsfeed now, and I've taught myself to just use it for the way I want to, and I actually really only use it for the Messenger app now.
Yeah. Mm.
And I just use it like I would MSN Messenger, and that's what I use it for now pretty much.
I've come the other way. I've only been on Facebook for now maybe a year and a half.
Mm.
And it was because I traveled and all my friends were sort of, it was starting to get
spread
a bit
out.
Laborious and hard by email. I'm just like, well, I'm just going to bite the bullet and join Facebook.
Sure.
And
you know, now I can message you again, Matt. Yay.
Yeah, yeah, you can message. Well, this is it. And that's why I thought, yeah.
I kind of do miss being reminded of people's birthdays. Because I'm really forgetful as it is, and I always like that,
sure,
that reminder.
And that
of
functionality
whose
has always
day.
Been valuable.
And there are some people who I don't really have the opportunity to stay in contact, like friends of mine, yeah, who live overseas, yeah, or, you know, like I'm still fairly friendly with my ex-wife and her kids and stuff like that. So I like to find out, you know, I like to see what they're up to and say hi every now and then. They live in the USA.
Mm.
You know, I've got friends who sort of live and work in China and in England and stuff like that. So I kind of do miss those a little bit. But I still haven't reached that point where the frustration of just the daily shitness of Facebook would be enough to put up with.
It is. Yeah. And at this point in my life, it's starting to creep in. You know, you're just like, oh.
I've come to the conclusion I'm accepting I'm going to have a love-hate relationship with it as a platform. Mm. And I need to change the way I use it rather than expecting it to change to suit me. And so that's what I'm trying to do right
Fair
now.
Enough.
Anyway, so, if you're out there, continue to give us some feedback on, and we'll at the end of the show, we'll go through all of the various ways you can stay in touch with us.
Tell me about some of the feedback we've had about Mr. Kane of Bullshit.
Well, just people, I think people really enjoy the premise of it. They enjoy it. Although, there's a couple of people that are a little bit, one person was saying to me that they were disputing one, and I can't think what it was, but I'm pretty sure we've got them all pretty accurate at this stage.
Well, the idea is that I'm trying to pull one over you.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I deliberately write them ambiguously so that they are interpreted a whole number of ways.
So anyway,
and we're not playing for the fucking sheep station either. Like it's
since John's it's the first episode John's been on, and I'm sure there'll be many more. Maybe we might start off we might have a round.
Yep.
Okay.
And this could be my chance to claw one back. Although Adam will probably no doubt will remind me. When he returns, he will remind me that even if I do win today, which is highly unlikely, but even if I do, well, not only that, he'll probably won't count this. So I'll still. I think what was the score? 3-0.
I can't remember.
It is. It's 3-0 to Mr. Adam Drummond. Yeah. Anyway, so John, do you understand the rules of the game?
Maybe you could run them past me one more time.
So history, Kane, or bullshit. Basically, I give you a sort of one sentence synopsis. And you've got to tell me whether it's something that happened this day in history, whether it's the plot of a film with Michael Caine in it, or it's bullshit and I made it up. That's basically it in a nutshell.
All right, let's have a crack.
Yeah. So okay. This, let me see here. We're recording this on December the
11th.
And we
do 11th. Three.
Okay.
Four. Five.
Five?
Five, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that, yeah, no, you're right.
I know nothing about Michael Caine.
Uneven.
See, already I'm.
So, okay, December the 11th. Number one, history, Kane, or bullshit. Oh, I didn't do the jingle.
Yeah, no, do the jingle.
Do the jingle.
Oh, no, I start it.
By 1990, no Australian child will be living in poverty.
I can't think of a Michael Caine quote.
Master Bruce.
No, do the door one.
Do the door.
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
Right. Ding dong. And then... And then that's it. Yeah.
Okay, that's
so
good.
It's history, Kane.
I've got to think of some quotes beforehand.
Bullshit. We might have to just sit in here one day and just record a shit ton of them, and then we'll have them on file. And that'll give me a chance to do some
history, Kane, or bullshit for December 11th. Number one, a middle-aged radio shock jock responds to an increasing number of incoming calls reporting violence in the streets.
Ooh.
A middle-aged radio shock jock responds to an increasing number of incoming calls.
That sounds familiar.
Reporting violence in the streets.
Hello, world.
Carry on. History, Kane, or bullshit?
Well, I'm not sure. That's a good question.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know much of Michael Caine's back catalogue of films. I know a few
films.
I know. He's done a lot.
That's why this game is so great. Because it could
Clearly.
Be anything.
Yes.
I'm going to say, just to help you out, I'm going to say bullshit on this one.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have a punt and say history.
John Riddell, you are correct. That, in fact, references Alan Jones's participation in the Cronulla riots of 2005, December.
Oh.
Of course.
Of course.
That was the easy one. And I got it wrong.
I'm Alan Jones. That's my Alan Jones impression. I stole that one off Luke Joslin. Luke Joslin, a guy who I was in a musical with a few years ago.
Yeah.
Very funny guy, like excellent singer, excellent performer. Does an outstanding Alan
Jones
impersonation. Yeah. Anyway. I would really love it if Jozo listened to this, but I don't think he does. I don't think he's a podcast sort of dude.
You'll have to tell him to.
Yeah. Number two, amid the hostility of a deep space environment, a small crew of explorers mount a record-breaking mission on the surface of an Earth-like planet's moon.
Well.
Would you like me to read it again?
Yeah.
Sure.
Amid the hostility of a deep space environment, a small group of explorers mount a record-breaking mission on the surface of an Earth-like planet's moon.
I'd say John. History, but I reckon that's the plot of Interstellar. So I'm going to say Kane.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though I've never been a fan of like piggybacking on someone else's answer, mm-hmm. I'm going to have to agree. I've yet to see this film,
mm-hmm.
but I'm reasonably familiar with the plot, and I know Michael Caine is in Interstellar.
Yep.
So I'm going to say yes, Caine.
You are sadly both incorrect. That is history.
What?
Also, just as a point of reference, they land on planets in Interstellar. They never land on a moon. That is the history is referring to the Apollo 17 mission in 1972. The Earth-like planet, of course, being Earth. the records that were broken included longest manned lunar landing, longest total lunar surface EVA, extra vehicular activity, largest lunar sample return, and the longest time in lunar orbit.
I can't believe I fell for that.
Well, I can believe I fell for that.
Thank you.
Next,
number three. Stranded hundreds of miles from civilization with wild animals closing in, a critically injured doctor must perform life-saving surgery on himself.
Oh.
History, Caine, or bullshit?
Wow. You know what? I'm going to go with history again.
Mm-hmm.
I get a feeling that there's, maybe that was some sort of amazing story of survival.
I'm going to say Caine. Just because Jamie had double bluffed me before.
Okay.
So I'm going to say Caine.
So you're playing that game, are you?
Maybe, because I have no idea if that was a movie or not.
You're not familiar with it? Okay.
No.
Answer?
The trend of double bluffing continues. That was, in fact, bullshit.
Ah! Okay. So you're still one zip. And the scores are actually, I think, significant. They're quite high, given my record in this game.
Mm.
Anyway,
Number four.
I've got one, okay.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, that's right.
You've done well. I haven't got any yet.
So do your points sort of, do they
accumulate.
Get preference to Adam?
Sure.
Yeah, you are basically being Adam, and he will
love
that.
You're basically being like the DLP,
you are
the Democratic.
Adam's, you are Adam's proxy, and so far you're keeping his record intact. But I've got two left to
scoop
it. You're
like the Hunters and Shooters Party.
Yeah.
Delegating your preferences to the Nationals or something.
Australian Sex Party.
There we go. Number four, a team of engineers and technicians attempts an unprecedented salvage mission. A team of engineers and technicians attempts an unprecedented salvage mission.
What do you think?
Oh, that's
John Riddell.
I'm just going to...
I know the answer
You know, like how when you get multiple choice and you've double bluffed your way out of everything, you've just got to keep circling C.
Yes.
So I'm going to circle Caine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Caine.
I am going to say Caine too, but I know actually what the film is.
Oh, really?
Should I say you get an extra point if you can name the film?
Okay. Sure. Why not? That'll really
you
get...
You are both correct.
Adam's,
it is Caine.
That'll get Adam's goat.
It is Caine.
I'm sure. I'm positive. And if I get the film wrong, maybe I should lose my point.
No, because
no, I'm happy to go with that. Is it raise the Titanic? No, is it raise the Titanic or is it? I can't because is it the next? Is it the second Poseidon Adventure movie?
I'm gonna need the full title.
Oh no! It's the second Poseidon Adventure movie.
But it's not called Poseidon 2.
It's not called.
Think of the naming convention of the Planet of the Apes films.
It's called Conquest
because
of the Poseidon
Adventure.
Because
it's nothing like those.
No, it's called it's called Beneath the Poseidon.
Oh,
it's
you're
not.
So close.
It's called Back to the Poseidon. That's called.
Can I give you a musical clue?
No. Yes.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. That was a theme song from a TV show, and if you remember the name of the TV show, you'll be helped.
What? Get Smart. It's I know what it is.
Poseidon 2.
It's no
Electric,
it's,
Electric Boogaloo.
It's oh, it's back to the no, it's not. It's the Poseidon. It's
instead
it's,
of going back to the Poseidon, how about you go past it, or maybe even
beyond the Poseidon Adventure.
Correct. Beyond yes! the Poseidon well Adventure, done. 1979. I'm going to give you that.
Which
point.
Is a lame. Do it. The lamest title in history. Yeah. And one of the lamest films too. By the
apparently,
way,
apparently the continuity between the first and second film is pretty good though. Like apparently, the dead people that died in the first one are still in the same spots.
Yeah, that's right. They find them
in Beyond,
and they refer to the characters, and it's all quite. The writing is probably the only thing that's worth noting.
I haven't seen it,
but otherwise, it's got Sally Field and. Sure, it's got Sally Field and Michael Caine, like two of the most unlikely people in a action adventure.
Sally Field
disaster
was a
movie.
A dead set spunk for about like
hot
6 or 8 months.
In Smokey and the Bandit, she is. You would just be constantly. If I was Burt Reynolds in that movie, you'd just be constantly pulling that car over. Righto, Sally.
If you didn't have raging impotence from the mountain of cocaine,
or the Smokies on your tail,
Jackie Gleason's
but the whole
son over
the whole
the
Smoking the Bandit movie is just all like sexual innuendo the whole way along.
The best bit is the credits, the bloopers in the credits where they're all cracking.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, yeah, you are correct. You get 2 points for that, Matt. For naming.
Now you could still draw it, which Adam will actually take as a win.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So if you pick up.
Because he's a glass half full kind of guy.
So hang on, wait a minute. No,
it's too
old. Now we're 2-all, aren't we? So I still have to get another point. It's 2-all because I got 2, you got 1. Because I forgot you said Caine as well.
Well, yeah, he did.
So this is it.
Number 5. An anti-apartheid activist goes into hiding from the South African secret police.
Wow.
So it's either On This Day in History, it's a Michael Caine film, or it's bullshit.
It's truth. Oh man, I'm gonna say history.
John,
I'm gonna say Caine.
John Riddell takes it home. That is in fact the plot of the Michael Caine film, The Wilby Conspiracy, 1975, also starring Sidney Poitier.
Ah, damn you! Hey!
See, I'm a film director. I know films.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Like not.
Bam.
I really like the Hundreds of Miles from Civilization, Wild Animals Closing In, Critically Injured Doctor Must Perform Life-Saving Surgery on Himself thing. I spend a lot of time thinking up the bullshit in this game. And
I know you do.
I'm pretty fine.
I know you do.
I can imagine.
And we appreciate it.
I could imagine Michael Caine wearing it. Like, I could see him doing that in a film.
Yeah.
With like a pith helmet.
Shall we?
He's one of those Victorian era doctors.
Yeah.
Shall we? We wrap up. We'll wrap up this episode. What we might do? We might wrap up this episode because we're almost getting up to that half hour mark, and then we'll actually have John back next week. And we'll do another.
Thanks, guys.
We'll do another ep.
And I'm dedicated
while we got
listeners
John
will
here.
Know that we're not going to.
Yeah,
wait a
dedicated
week
listeners
the
know now that we do
back to back.
We do 2 episodes a week, and then we play them over the next 2 weeks because we're
Except
very busy
when there's
lads.
A Lawrence Mooney interview.
We're busy lads.
Yeah,
and then occasionally we throw in some cool stuff too.
I enjoyed that,
like that. So we might sign off. So yeah, as always, you can get in touch with us at
you can hit us up on the Twitter at numeral 5 O'Clock Wave or my personal Twitter at the Jamie Way THEJAMIEWAY.
And I have after enormous amounts of public pressure, I have changed my Twitter handle to at Mosh Molson. That's MO. SC.
Have you got an underscore in there?
Yeah, yes, Twitter I do. Yes, so Mo
underscore
Schmolson.
Schmolsen.
John, are you on Twitter?
No.
No? Good. Excellent. But you are on Facebook, so if you want to find out more about John Riddell, go to John Riddell on Facebook.
Can people see Kirk Picard online anyway?
Yeah, it's on Vimeo, so they could just sort of go to Vimeo and type in Kirk V. Picard.
We might even
we'll link
the show description.
Yeah, we'll link to it on our Facebook page.
It's good fun. Thanks,
and we'll
guys.
Tweet about it. Instagram. I'm also on Instagram, Mo Schmolson. I got some really funny photos on there.
And the show has an Instagram account now. It's also at 5 o'clock wave.
5 o'clock wave.
5 o'clock wave.
So, all right.
Yeah.
Sayonara.
Be cool to one another.
Yay.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.